be seated if you want to. If you would, get your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. And I wanted them to play that song for a reason, because we're going to talk a little bit later in the sermon about imagination. Remember when you used to have one? I'll probably say a little bit more about it later, but I had such an imagination when I was a child. Whew, I was a major tomboy, and I thought I was Nancy Drew. I really did. And for right now, turn to Mark chapter 5. We're going to be talking this morning, and I've talked about her before, and I'll talk about her again, I'm sure, and that is the little woman with the issue of blood. I was listening to a minister preach the other day, and he said one sentence, just one sentence. He didn't preach the whole thing on her. He just passed by, but he said this one little sentence. He said, the little woman with the issue of blood initiated her healing. And I thought, she did, didn't she? I just never heard anybody put it quite like that, that she initiated her healing. And I liked it. As soon as I heard that, it just went off of me like fireworks. I'm like, wow. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So turn to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Anybody ever had a time like that? You know, you feel like you've been poked at and prodded, and you're handing over money left and right and still not getting better. Well, this went on for 12 years for her. 12 years. They did all kind of things to her. And she had given, you know, all her money, and yet she was getting worse. In verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So the first thing we know about her initiating her healing is that she heard about Jesus. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe that somebody in her hometown, somebody said, have you heard about Jesus? Oh, no, who is he? He's the Messiah. We believe he's the Messiah, and he's healing people. He's healing people left and right. He's healing people of leprosy. We know somebody that was raised from the dead. One of the disciples told us that he was even on a ship, and the winds and waves were beating that ship to where they thought they were going down, and he stood up and said, peace be still, and everything became calm. And that man is coming this way. So you think like her. She's been sick for a long, long time, and now they're telling her that he's coming her way. And I believe that she looked forward to what she believed could happen in her, because later on we're going to see she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be made well. And I would like to ask you this morning, because I'm saying she looked ahead. I believe she thought ahead. She didn't stop right there and say, well, let's see, he's coming to town. What should I wear? That's what most women would do. But she didn't do that. She didn't do that. She said, he is coming to town. This healer is coming into my town. And I believe that if I can just get up close to him, I believe that if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. That's what she said. And so, but she was looking ahead and looking forward to what she believed could happen. And I would like to ask all of you this morning, what do you see concerning your breakthrough that you need? What are you looking forward to? See, too many people are just stuck. They're just stuck. They're not looking forward. They're looking behind. They're looking at where they're at right now. Well, let's see, I'm in debt up to my eyes. My kids are not serving God. My house, they're talking about foreclosure on my house. You're looking behind, and you're looking at what you are right now. But when is the last time you look forward? Imagine what God can do in your life. Do you see yourself being healed? Do you see yourself being debt-free? Oh, see, now y'all should have said, yes, I see it. Do you see yourself with a better job? Do you see your kids and your loved ones saved and living for the Lord? Do you see it? In Jeremiah 1 and 11, we see God asking Jeremiah, what do you see? What are you seeing? God, I believe that God wants us to stop looking at where you're at and start looking to where you want to be with the Lord's help. We have quit using our imagination because it kind of gets knocked out of you as you grow up. When you're a kid, you imagine you're going to be a cowboy when you grow up. You imagine you're going to be an astronaut. You imagine you're going to be the president of the United States. I wouldn't want to be that, and they wouldn't pay me enough for that. You know, what are some of the things kids imagine when they're growing up? They want to be a what? A movie star, a rock star, a wrestler. So they imagine this. But then a lot of times when they tell it to the grown-ups, the grown-ups say, that ain't going to happen. You know, and they'll try to knock your dreams right out of you. They're dream killers. And so don't do that to a child. If a child walks up to you and he says, I want to be an astronaut when I grow up, don't you sit there and go, well, you better get your grades up. Don't do that. You say, well, when it happens, I'll be there. When you go up into space, I'm going to have a front row seat. Right? Don't put conditions on their little dreams. Because evidently that's what's happened to us. We used to have huge imaginations. I'm not kidding you. I did. I had a huge imagination. But somewhere through life, we quit using it. Now, we do use our imagination, but we use it the wrong way. We use it for bad. And that's called worry. Because have you ever noticed that something will start off to be a very small situation, just a small problem, and then by the time we imagine what it could be, it has grown. It has escalated. I think I've told you the story about the woman who she went out into her garage and she saw something there. She's like, oh my goodness, it's a snake in my garage. And she ran into her house and shut the door, locked the door, probably put a chair in front of it. And then she called the police. And she said, you have got to come because my children are on the way home. And they're going to come through the garage and that snake is going to devour them. And this thing is getting bigger by the minute, okay? First it started off as a snake in the garage. Now the snake is so big it can devour two children. And so she said, you've got to come now and get this snake out of my garage. And they come. They came right away and went into her garage. And if I remember right, it was a hose or something. You know, it wasn't even a snake. But you see, she took that small thing and it became huge. That was her imagination. So we do use our imagination, but we use it the wrong way. Am I telling the truth? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, y'all are looking at me like, yeah, we don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm, you do. It can start off with just a small little thing, and it gets bigger. And that's called worry. But let's use our imagination for the good, like seeing yourself getting debt-free, paying your bills on time, giving your tithes, getting a better job. Use your imagination to look forward that when your kids come in here and get gloriously saved, filled up with the Holy Ghost and are working in the church, use your imagination to say, I can see it. I can see it. Well, Habakkuk took it a step further. The book of Habakkuk, in chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he who may run, who reads it. So what he's saying here, you've got a vision, you've got a dream, write it down. Write it down. Write that. Do you know that the athletes that write down their vision are the ones who succeed? That's true. I've even heard about movie stars. And see, they don't even know what they were doing, but it come out of the Bible. I heard about a movie star, Jim Carrey. And I'm not trying to judge Jim Carrey, but I'm pretty sure he's not a Christian, but I'm not going to judge. But the concept that he got was right out of the Bible. And what he did was he saw himself just a young man, and he went up on this mountain, and he said to himself, he wrote down the vision, and he said, in 5 years, I'm going to make $1 million. In 5 years, I'm going to be well-known. 5 years. And he dated it, and he put it in his pocket. And 5 years later, he had made the movie Pet Detective. Anybody know it? Sonny, I knew you'd seen that. Yes. And he made the movie Pet Detective. And he made $10 million. See, he wrote the vision. He made it plain. He didn't know it was coming out of the Bible. That happens to athletes. It comes from, but we Christians, what we want to do is we just want to talk. We'll just talk about it. And God will give you a dream. He'll give you a vision of something to come, and we don't write it down. And what happens sometimes if you don't write things down? You forget it. So when the Lord shares something with you like a little nugget, and he says, start seeing yourself being debt-free. Start seeing those kids if you're coming in. Write it down. Say, I see John coming into the church. I see every bill paid. I see myself being debt-free. I see my house being paid off. I see, you just write, start writing it down. Make it plain. Don't be complicated about it. And as I said on my Wednesday night class, some people take it and put it up on the ceiling above their bed, because that's the first thing the last thing they want to see before they go to sleep at night. And what? The first thing they see in the morning is, I am debt free. Woo! What's going to happen there? You're going to start working toward that. But if it's always just in your mind, I don't know that you will. But you got to see it. We're a visual people, and you've got to hear it. And you've got to write the vision down and make it plain. Don't be all complicated about it and put a bunch of junk in there that you think people. Just say, I want to be debt-free. Just say, I want to see my kids get saved. I want to see my kids filled up with the Holy Ghost and working in the church. I want to be able to give into the church. I want to be able to, and then, now I'm stepping out a little bit here, because see, I still got an imagination. And then you can say, I want to stay one of these days at the nicest hotel or motel, whatever, around here. I'm going to be in one of the nicest, and I'm going to spend the night, and I'm going to eat out of the mini bar. You know, the little refrigerator that's sky high? I'm going to eat anything I want to out of that little mini bar. I mean, that sounds crazy, but you see, I'm trying to get you to stretch your imagination this morning. Think big. How many times have we drove by a house and said, well, I tell you what, a minister I heard about, he drove by this house, and he was in Hawaii, and he was on a little vacation, and he was out there, and way up on this bluff was this huge, beautiful house overlooking Hawaii. I mean, come on. He said, I can't even imagine living in a house like that. And God spoke to him immediately and said, you never will. And he stopped, and he's like, what? And the reason why is because he said, I can't even imagine it. God would, you may think, well, Sister Hamby, I never heard of such a thing. Who gave you your imagination? God did. But it's stuck. I'm trying to get you. I'm a Roto-Rooter this morning, okay? I am trying to unstick your dreams and unstick your visions that God has given you. If he has given you a vision for ministry, then think about it. Write it down. Write it down on paper. If he's given you a vision for your future, about, you know, what could be, write it down. Make the vision plain. If you see yourself, I see this is not in my notes. This is just things that's coming up inside of me, I guess. If you see yourself making $100 more this year, now that's not a whole lot, but if you see yourself making $100 more this year, see, y'all should be saying, I received that right now. I received that. Anybody would like to make $100 extra this year? And then when you make the $100, why couldn't you reach forth and say, I see myself making $500 extra. Well, see, now, oh my goodness, I think somebody just came uncorked. It why couldn't that be? Wait a minute, is the Bible says on earth as it is in, now, if is heaven, are they bankrupt? No, heaven is made out of streets of gold, walls of jasper. Do you think God doesn't want to bless us? I did not mean for this to turn into a prosperity message. We'll move right along. But if I could just get us, you know what I'm thinking for me? I see a church that is bigger than we've ever dreamed before. I see a church building that we're having to grow. We're having to expand. I'm seeing us having to buy more chairs and more tables. I'm seeing us having to need more help. I see these things in my mind. my imagination. I see it. Well, if I get stuck, then this church is going to get stuck. And we can't afford to get stuck because the harvest is coming in. And we got to start thinking bigger. Deborah called me the other day, and I loved it. She said, can I order 1,000 pins? Yes. Yes. 1,000 pins with Lighthouse Ministries on it? Yes, absolutely. We're going to get them into your hands or whatever so it can be a tool for you to pass out to people and say, come to Lighthouse Ministries, because the harvest is coming in, and we've got to be big-minded. We've got to start thinking ahead of time. Whew, I am burning up. Excuse me just a minute. Thank you, Gilbert. If you're turning on that air conditioner, oh, I'll give you 50 cents at church. All right. Now, another thing this woman with the issue of blood did was in verse 28, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, or in another version it says, if I may touch the hem of his garment, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Right there, she released her faith by saying what she believed. She released her faith. You can have a whole heart full of faith, and it's not going to do you any good until you release it. You can be full of faith like a sponge that is full of water, but if you want to wash your car and you've got a sponge and it's full of water and you've got a dirty car right there, what do you need to do? You've got to release it. You've got to squeeze it and get the water out and release it, or you're still going to have a dirty car tomorrow. It's the same thing with us. We can be full of faith, but you need to release your faith, get it out there. How do you release it? One of the ways to release your faith is by saying what you believe. What do you believe? You say, well, I don't know what I believe. Well, then get a Bible. Get into the Word of God. Start reading the Word, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You don't have to make this thing complicated. She didn't. She did not make this complicated. Too many people say what they have. They say they have sickness. They say they have debt. They say they have defeat. But that's not what she did. She came to Jesus saying what she believed for. And that was what, that if she believed that if she could touch his garment, touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. She believed it, therefore she said it. She believed it. There, right there. You believe it, and then you believe it, and one more time, you believe it, and then you release your faith by, you got it. There you go. I love this church. The next thing I want you to notice is that she went. Now, like I said, she could have stayed at home and had all the faith in the world about Jesus coming to her town, but the Bible says that faith without works is dead. That's the same thing, and I shouldn't even be talking about this morning. I want to be honest with you. I came off of that fast last week, and I have been a bad girl all week. I'm not kidding you. I have drank Pepsi, ate cookies, and now I've stopped. I'm going to stop. And I just went buck wild. I don't know what's wrong. I just, you know. But you know what? I got to get back on track. But it's the same thing with an exercise machine. You could sit there and say, that exercise machine right there, it's going to make me lose weight. I can get on that treadmill or that bicycle or whatever, and I'm telling you what, if once I get on that and I do that every day for 30 minutes, I'm going to lose these hips. I'm going to lose this gut. I'm going to other places. And and you're going to say, I'm going to lose this weight. But what's it going to take for that to work for you? You got to get on it. You got to get on the treadmill. You got to actually get on it and do it, because faith that works is dead. Oh. So not only was she saying what she believed, but she went to where Jesus was. She acted on her faith. Now, I wish you would write this down somewhere. Faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. It's not a sit down and hope for the by and by. It's a get it done now. Get her done. Get her done now. Notice that when she saw Jesus coming down the road, she didn't. Now listen, this is good. Notice that when she saw Jesus coming down the road, she didn't start crying and wailing and try to tell Jesus why she was a worthy candidate for healing. Oh, Jesus, I've been sick for 12 years. Oh, Jesus, I've been to church all my life. Oh, Jesus, I taught Sunday school for 35 years. Jesus, I give to the poor. Jesus, you need to heal me. When people do that, I'm going to be just straight up with you. When people do that and they come to God in that kind of attitude, what they're saying to Jesus is, you owe me. Does he owe us? Are you kidding me? He's done everything. He paid the ultimate price by laying down his life for us, by taking the stripes on his back for our healing. He doesn't owe us anything, but he wants to bless us. He wants to heal us, not because he owes us, but because he just loves us. So if you've had that attitude of, well, and people will say that to ministers. They'll come up and say, oh, you need to go pray for so-and-so. They got a lot of faith. They do this, and they like, and it's almost a thing like they owe, that God owes them something. God doesn't owe you anything, but he does love you. He doesn't owe us anything. But so we see that she heard, she said, she went. Now look at verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She received her healing. She received it. She received her. You know what? The Bible talks about Mark 11:24. I believe it's 11:24 that says, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and then what will happen? You shall have it. So when do you do the believing that you receive it? When you pray. It's simple. It's not that complicated. People try to make it. Sometimes I listen to radio preachers and different ones, and after a while I'm like, I guess I'm a more uncomplicated kind of person. Don't make this thing too hard. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price, and he told us that we can have it, and all we got to do is believe it and receive it. Right? Now this next part, I love it because look at this. Jesus was thronged by, look at verse 30, 31, through there. Jesus was thronged by probably hundreds, and it's even possible thousands of people. It was sort of like the paparazzi. Seriously. If they'd have had cameras back in those days, there'd have been flashes going off everywhere because Jesus was coming through, and his fame was everywhere. And there was people thronging him and just wanted to be near him because they heard about him. Try to see in your mind what it was like, might have been like that day. It was really crowded and very noisy and exciting. It was exciting because Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. If you remember the story about Jairus, he was on his, Jairus' little girl was dying. She was about 12 years old, and they came and said, your little girl is dying. So he got a hold of Jesus, and they're on the way to Jairus' house. But right in the middle of all this, right in the middle of his mission of going, we see that she touched the hem of his garment. There was probably people crying out to him as he was passing by. But look at this. But right in the middle of all of that commotion, all of that noise, all those people trying to touch Jesus. But the thing was, now think about that. There was a lot of people touching Jesus. You got to understand, he was walking by, and they're grabbing hold of him. How come they weren't healed? How come all those people that touched him were not healed? The Bible doesn't record that. But right in the middle of all this noise and all this excitement, and there was probably dust flying everywhere, this little woman reaches out with her little slender hand in faith and touched the hem of his garment, and it stopped Jesus in his tracks. That little hand of faith, she reached out and she grabbed the hem of his garment with all kind of faith in her. And when she did that, it stopped Jesus in his tracks. She initiated her healing. Wow. So how do we know that? Look at verse 30. And Jesus, I love this, I love it, love it. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself, one version says virtue, but that word means power. it says that, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched me?" And his disciples, in verse 31, his disciples said to him, "Jesus, you see the multitude? You see that they're thronging you? There's hundreds of people here, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And I love it because this woman's faith had stopped the Son of God in his tracks, because he actually felt power leaving his body when she reached out by faith and touched him. She initiated her healing with her faith. Can that be done today? Absolutely. Absolutely. When you, by faith, first of all, you find it in the Bible where that by his stripes you're healed, or that your family can be saved, or that he can meet your financial need, whatever it is that you need. And you start studying that, and you start reading it every day, and you start kind of like hammering it in. You're just like, "God, I believe that I received my healing in the name of Jesus, for by your stripes I'm healed." The next day, "Oh, God, I thank you for my healing." Now, at some point, you got to just start believing and receiving. It's okay to come to God, first of all, and pray the prayer and say, "God, I've got this wrong with me. I need for you to heal me. And I thank you, God, that according to your word, you will." Now, after that, then get into faith and say, "Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed." And you just keep on. You're doing the laundry. "Oh, Lord, thank you for healing my body. I thank you, God, I don't have to walk with a cane anymore. Oh, God, I thank you for that." And then you just keep on saying, then next thing you know, you're driving down the road in the car. "Lord, I thank you, God, for healing my body." You're acting as if it's already done. What's that called? Faith. "Lord, I thank you, God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for healing my body. I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, for that." And you just keep on going. You just keep it on plugging in there. And then there's going to come a time, I believe, that you're going to pray that prayer. You're going to say that one more time. You're just going to say, "Lord, thank you for healing my body." And boom, boom. It could be while you're sitting in church. It could be while you're driving down the road. It could be while you're sitting or talking to somebody. And all of a sudden, what's ever been wrong with you is all of a sudden you are healed. You're already healed. You're just waiting for the manifestation of it. Whew. And he looked around, verse 32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Doesn't this make you want to know what she did to initiate her healing? She received her healing that day. From what I could tell, now listen to this. Listen, this I had never thought of this before. Jesus, she's in the crowd. She has come, she's elbowed her way through. She's got up there, and Jesus walked by her, right? He was walking by her. Did he stop on his own to pray for her? So what happened? Oh, get it right now. He's walking by. She's standing right here. She's right there. She's got her little hand reached out in faith, and he's walking by. He's walking by because he's on a mission to go see Jairus' daughter, and he's walking by, and I believe he gets about like so, and she reaches out and grabs the hem of his garment, and he stops. Hallelujah. Because he felt power going out of his body. And he stopped and he goes, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And she knew it was her. Because immediately she felt that sickness dry up in her body and leave her. I'm telling you, this little woman's faith, by reaching out and touching the hem of his garment with her faith, stopped the Son of God in his tracks. It was her faith. It wasn't her begging. It wasn't her pleading. It wasn't her coming to God and saying, "You owe me." It was her saying, "I believe you can do it. I believe that when I touch your clothes, there's so much power in you, Jesus, that when I touch your clothes, that hallelujah, the power is going to come into me." And she did it. She reached out by faith, and God healed her. And he could do it again today. Ah, woo. Think about it. I love this part. Think about this. Not only did she stop Jesus in his tracks with her faith, the whole multitude stopped. Because when Jesus stopped, they all stopped. And they stopped. And all eyes were where? On her. She wasn't even supposed to be there that day. She was considered unclean like a leper. But she came out by faith. Can I just get real nitty-gritty here? You know I will anyway. She didn't care what people thought. She didn't care because she needed a healing. And she said, I'm going to go see Jesus. I know I'm not supposed to be out there right now, but watch this. And she's making her way through. Quit worrying about what people are thinking about you, because chances are they're not even thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. You know, when I was young, I kept thinking all the time, I was so worried about what people thought about me. I thought about, well, if I wear this dress, what would they think? If I do this, what would they think? I come to realize they're not thinking about me. They're thinking about themselves. And now I'm just like, whatever. Chances, you know what? Don't worry about what people think about you. And that includes in the church. If you want to come up here when the worship and the singing is going on, when Gilbert and Deborah and them are up here and they're singing just a little talk with Jesus, and you feel like you need to come up here and have a little talk with Jesus, then you come on up here, because chances are somebody's probably going to follow you. They're just waiting for somebody to do what they want to do, right? So all eyes were on her. Everything had come to a stop because this little woman had touched the hem of his garment. And look at Jesus' response to her, verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith. Whose faith? Her faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions. Another thing I noticed about her was that she expected something from her encounter with Jesus that day. When you get alone with Jesus, expect. Expect. That's what I really like I'm going to be honest with you. There's times when I'm praying with people, not just in this church, but I've been asked to come to different churches, and I pray with different people. You can always tell who's coming expecting an answer from God, and those who come up like, we'll see if anything happens attitude. The ones that come up here with the, well, let's see if anything happens attitude, probably go back to your seat with, weren't disappointed, were you? You know, if you're not expecting anything, how will you know when it happens? But these people that come up here, and they have this air of expectancy about them. Sometimes Tommy, when he's praying, when I'm praying, different ones when we're praying, sometimes we don't get to get our hand all the way on you. And you're gone. You're just like, woo, I got it. That's because you came in here believing that you're going to receive before anybody touched you. You could have probably got healed in your living room. You could have probably got healed in your car because you had such an air of expectancy. That's what we need to do with the Lord. Expect. He loves it. That's called faith. When you believe, he's going to do it. When you pray about it and it lines up with the Word of God, you're asking God to meet your needs financially, spiritually, whatever way, and it lines up with the Word of God, what you're praying for, then start expecting it. Believe it. Woo! I'm telling you. Did she have to go through a big complicated process to get healed? Nope. She heard, she said, she went, and she received. And I've got good news for you this morning. God is no respecter of persons. If you need a breakthrough this morning, I challenge you to start believing. Write it down. What is it? What is it? What is it that you need? Write it down. Just write it down. Say it, what it is, what it is. You know, this is what I really need, God. I really would like to see this happen. And then, now I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to blow your mind. Put a date on it. God, I believe you can do this within the year. I believe that I can have my car paid off within this year. I believe, God, that with your help and your provision, I believe that my child can be saved this year. Put a date on it. Because what that does, it just intensifies the expectancy inside of you. I've heard about people who have done that, and God has met their need and blessed them, and they look at the time, they carry it with them in their wallet. They'll look at that, and they'll say, yep, I said right there. And one guy, I shared this with my Wednesday night class, he said, I would like to make $1 million this year. And he made 980-something thousand. And somebody said, well, you didn't make $1 million. Close enough. Close enough. Won't everybody stand, please? I hope you've been challenged this morning. I hope that you got it, because I'm telling you, He is not a respecter of persons. He is moved by your faith. One of the great preachers said that God, I believe it was Miss Wigglesworth, said that he believed that God would pass over thousands of people who are praying to him to get to that one person who is reaching out in faith. I mean, they believe it, and they're saying it. They say, I believe I receive it. When you pray about that situation, I dare you this week to start saying, I believe I receive it. That's not being arrogant. That's not you saying, well, you might say, well, I'm lying. You know, I don't know. Well, then get in the Word until you believe that God's work can happen in your life. And then you start saying, Mark 11:24, when I pray, I believe I receive it, and it shall be done unto me. But then, now, and I'm going to end with this, and that is, think bigger. Think bigger. Don't just pray, oh, God, and I've shared this before. Don't just pray and say, God, oh, Lord. See, we sound very humble when we do this. Oh, God. I've got that electric bill. That's $123.17. Oh, God, some way, somehow, God, can you do it? Is that faith? I don't know what that is. That's a mess. I don't know what that is. That's not faith. But you come to God and you say, God, according to your word, you said you'd provide all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I believe I receive it. Now here, Lord, here's that electric bill, and I thank you, God, that you're taking care of it. I believe you're going to bring it in. I don't know how you're going to bring it in. That's none of my business. But, Lord, I thank you, God, for providing for me and my family above and beyond anything we can ask or even think. If you can ask or think it, then it's going to be bigger than that. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Why preach me happy? I don't know about you. They preach me happy. Everybody bow your heads just a minute. Whew. Lord, I thank you, God. Oh, you're so exciting, God. You know I tell you that all the time. Hallelujah. God, I love you this morning. I praise you, Lord. And we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray right now, dear God, that you would help us, Father, to reach forward and reach out to you in faith like we've never done before. Oh, God, that we would take the limits off of you. Oh, God, you're exceedingly abundantly above. You can bless us, Father. Oh, God, I just give you praise right now. I just wonder if there's anybody here this morning, and you're not, you come in here this morning, you're not even a Christian. You're not serving the Lord right now, but you'd like to serve the Lord. You'd like to know this one named Jesus who will stop in his tracks and stop and meet your need. If you don't know him, but you would like to know him, please feel free to come up there. Just raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. If there's anybody this morning that would just like to have prayer, or you just like to say, I'd just like to know this Jesus, the one who will stop for me, just raise your hand right now. Anybody in this church, we will take the time, because we love you and God loves you. Is there anybody here this morning that you just need a breakthrough? You just need a breakthrough in your life. And I'm just going to pray a corporate prayer over everybody, unless you just want to come up. If you'd like to come up, you're more than free to come up here. But anybody need a little bit of breakthrough in your life this week? You just need you just need to grow in faith. You need to just reach out to the Lord. If anybody would like to come up here this morning, these altars are open. Just know that at any time, any service, these altars are always open for you. But if anybody here needs to come up, come on up. Yes, there's one coming. If anybody else, you need a breakthrough. You're tired of the same old thing. You've been going down this road and going down this road and going. You're not seeing results. And you need a breakthrough.